The Chilkoot Indian Association celebrates a historic decision on the rights of Alaska tribes to put lands into federal trust. And Haynesboro manager is criticized for a proposal to heighten security at borough offices. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. A Haines tribe is calling a recent U.S. Court of Appeals decision a historic victory. The Chilkoot Indian Association was among five plaintiffs in a lawsuit challenging what is known as the Alaska Exception, which prohibited Alaska tribes from placing their lands into federal trust. After years of litigation, including an appeal from the state, the federal court sided with the tribes. Now, Alaska tribes can petition for sovereignty over their lands.
It's a historic decision, and our name is on that lawsuit, and that means a lot, and I think that our people should be very proud of that fact.
Harriet Brulette is the tribal administrator for the Chilkoot Indian Association. She says the tribe got involved in the case because there was inequality between the rights of tribes in Alaska and the rest of the United States.
We weren't being treated equally. So this is the Chilkoot Indian Association played a historical part in making sure that all tribes are created equally.
In the 1930s, the Indian Reorganization Act was put into place, which allowed the U.S. Secretary of the Interior to acquire trust lands. Placing land into trust gives it permanent protection for a tribe's exclusive use. Reservations are an example of this. But the 49th state was excluded from that right because of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which distributed land to Alaska Native people and created Native corporations. About 10 years ago, Akiachak, Tulisak, Chalkeetsik, the Chilkoot Indian Association, and a Barrow individual filed suit. They said the Alaska exception violated the Indian Reorganization Act's anti-discrimination provision by treating Native tribes differently. The district court agreed and struck down the Alaska exception, but the process was put in limbo by an appeal from the state of Alaska. Governor Bill Walker took an unprecedented step and visited the tribes involved in the suit last year while he tried to decide whether his administration should continue that appeal. Here he is last August.
I'm a big believer in, I like decisions made as close to home as possible. Decisions being made in Washington, D.C. about land use in Alaska. Right now, 62% of our land is in federal control, so adding to that, I'm concerned about that.
Walker ended up continuing the appeal, but early this month, the court dismissed it.
What this will do is give us some sovereign authority over our own land so that we can make decisions just like any other tribe in the lower 48 does about how we use our land. And we, like any other sovereign nation, we won't have to ask permission from anybody but ourselves.
Brulette says the tribe applied years ago to put land including the Chilkoot Estates subdivision and other small parcels into trust. But she says the Chilkoot tribe is different than the other plaintiffs in the lawsuit, in that it doesn't have much land.
What was once our land is now a checkerboard of various ownerships that have nothing to do with the tribe.
Brulette says the court decision is a rare positive event after many losses for the tribe.
If you look at Main Street, the section from where the borough office is down past where the Aspen Hotel is, that was all once village. And we have tribal members who still remember that being a village and remember, you know, visiting family there. And now, you know, we see a brewery there and a chain hotel. And that's kind of disheartening. And now a big argument over what's going to happen to that last little parcel. So I sit here in my office looking out at that last little parcel and think, gosh, now that was part of our village.
Brulette says the status they hope to gain for their remaining property would give the tribe authority over taxes and could allow for economic development opportunities. Because the Chilkoot Indian Association's land is limited, she says the land into trust decision's symbolic importance may outweigh the practical changes the future holds.
Thank you.
hottest topics at this week's Haynesboro Assembly meeting wasn't even on the agenda. Last week, manager Bill Seward announced plans to increase security measures at the borough administration building. His plan last week included a locked door and buzzer system and a panic button under a countertop. But at Tuesday's meeting, after a public outcry and directive from the assembly to shut down much of the effort, Seward said his new plan will likely focus on policy and training. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Seward says staff safety was his motivation for the idea to beef up security. There have been incidents over the years, he says, and one last week that resulted in a verbal trespass against two residents. The residents approached a borough employee who then went to Seward to disclose the incident. Seward called the police. The subsequent investigation was inconclusive. Last week, on Thursday morning, Seward told KHNS he was simply interested in keeping his employees safe inside.
We're drawing plans to create a reception area, which will enhance our physical security of the building. And we want to construct it where it's friendly, it's comfortable, and it'll give us a chance to, you know, assess our customers if they're, you know, in an angry state or whatnot, you know, before we actually let them into the workplace.
Also last week, Seward told the Chilkat Valley News that he was looking into locking doors and a buzzer system for the building. That caused some turmoil at Tuesday's meeting from concerned residents and assembly members. Here's Deborah Schnabel.
Installing a security screen in the public's office of administration under these circumstances serves to illustrate the administration's distrust of citizens, and it will further isolate citizens from their government.
Leonard Dubber echoed those concerns.
And I think that this having to buzz in at the city office is just exactly the opposite message we want to send. We need to be able to slow down and listen to people a little bit, not have to make everything, we're going to win and you're going to lose.
Back at the dais, the discussion focused on the subjectivity of feeling unsafe, as in what one perceives as a threat might not be thought so by someone else. But Seward told the assembly when his staff members come to him and say they feel unsafe or uneasy, he can't ignore that. He cited a section of the United States Code regarding occupational health and safety and hazards in the workplace.
I have recognized, given the past stories that I've heard, that this hazard exists. So I exercise due diligence and engage my staff, and we're currently entertaining ideas.
Assemblywoman Margaret Friedenauer responded, saying that members of the public can't be considered a hazard and that Seward was misinterpreting the code.
If there's safety issues, there's other ways to address it.
Assemblyman Ron Jackson suggested that employees who deal with the public need to have the skills to deal with the public.
You need to be able to talk to them and de-escalate things when they do get escalated. And are there policies in there about what to do when they feel like they need extra help? Do they come to you? I'm not sure what happened, but people can be afraid in all sorts of situations, or not afraid.
Assemblyman George Campbell made a motion to direct Seward to cease efforts of installing any system that would restrict access to public buildings. But Seward warned passing that motion would mean the assembly takes on the potential liability, and he called it a slippery slope. Assembly members Diana Lapham and Mike Case agreed that the assembly should butt out and let the manager do his job. Here's Lapham.
I am not going to micromanage where the assembly has no purview, which is the employees.
Mayor Jan Hill also weighed in before the vote, asking the assembly to let the manager work this out with his borough employees. He got the message, she said. But when Friedenauer asked Seward if he in fact did get the message and if he would abandon his idea to turn the public building into a fortress, he didn't say yes or no. He said borough employees would put their heads together and discuss options with Heath Scott when he arrives to take on the role as Haynes' new borough police chief.
The borough clerk sent out a schematic of our building to each one of the employees. They can come up, make their proposals. We're going to run them by the chief of police, see what his advice is, and then go from there.
The motion to halt plans for selective entry into the administration building passed 4-2, with Lapham and Case opposed. After the meeting, Seward said he was going to focus on policy and training for employees to deal with disgruntled residents. He said he was just throwing ideas around when he made statements about locks and buzzers, and that he was leaning toward a friendlier option anyway. Reporting in Haynes, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.